you know, last week and a half ago, I built my first dipole, and I've got it up in the backyard, and I have got some good reports from people up on 80 meters, and I'm really, really pleased with it, and just really, really satisfied with, you know, with that. So I ordered a antenna analyzer the other day. It finally came in today. It was supposed to be in 2 days ago, but it came in today, so I haven't got around to checking the impedance yet to see what actual the impedance on the antenna is. But I have noticed that depending on some unknown factor, that my SWR varies. It goes up, and then later on in the day, the SWR will come back down. And I'm not sure why that is or what's going on with it. But any ideas?
On the exact same frequency, it varies from like from morning to the evening.
I cut the antenna for 3.915 or 351, which whatever South Carolina single sideband is, and I had it down to 1 to 1.6 or 1.8 SWR. So, when I put my analyzer when it came in today, and it was up to, I don't know, 6.1, and I let it sit on there for a few minutes, and then it came back down to where it normally was, or where I cut it for. But as you let it sit another 20, 30 minutes, and then it goes back up. It eventually settled back down to what I originally cut it, but I'm wondering if it's a calibration issue with this antenna analyzer I've got, because there is a calibration function on it. But just food for thought. I don't want to get too bogged down with that, because I'm not sure it's too big of a problem. Just letting you know, I'm happy with the antenna. So with that, let me let this thing drop, and I'll be right back. Or anybody, first question. I got two short ones, and then first question is, what does it mean when I hear another operator say contact, and what situation is that used?
I can't think of the net. I checked into it. South cars. When they are doing the roll call, if you are sitting there and you hear a station check in and you want to talk to that person, you say contact, and the net control operator will recognize that. He'll say go ahead contact, and you give them your call sign and your name, and tell him who you, the station you want to contact, and they let you have the air to go ahead and talk to that person. I know the CBs use that term a lot. Many hams use it nowadays on Canada CBs, but like breaking into a conversation. You want to talk to one of the persons. If it's a station in a state that, like, you're working all states, and he's talking to another station, and you just break in there politely and say contact, and if they are polite, they'll give you permission to speak to whichever station you want to talk to, Chad.
KI4DOS.
Door MKH.
Hey, Walt. Chad, 11 meters of the CB band. People used to say break all the time if they wanted to get into a conversation. In ham radio, if you say break, that means you have an emergency and that you need the frequency right then because you have an emergency. That's the reason they say contact instead. They didn't want to get it confused with 11 meters. And if you come in on ham radio and there's a couple of guys or three or four guys talking like we are now, and somebody says break, that means they have an emergency. If they come in and say contact, well, you can acknowledge the station and just keep talking for a minute, and then when you get through talking, you can go back to that station. There's several different formats for it, I guess, if you want to call it that, but thought I'd throw that one in there to you.
Gary, I appreciate that. So, just so I'm clear, I understand that's typically, I mean, that could be used on 2 meters, but typically it's just a protocol function. So, just to make sure I've got that right, if, just for an example now, let's say you were calling the 2 meter net on Wednesday night, and Andy checked in on the regular RF check-in. If I wanted to talk with Andy when he checked in, I would say contact, and that would be an indicator to the NCS that I wanted to relay, or I wanted to talk to Andy at the NCS's discretion. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
A comment on that, W4MKH.
MKH, I can't remember your full call, but go ahead, sir.
Okay, what standard, what they just told you is correct if you wanted to talk to Andy or whoever that was. But if they had already gone through, you know, where your call sign appears in that, a lot of nets, especially on HF, you just call contact, and then the net control will come to you. And a lot of times it's just for check-in. All it means is you need to interrupt the conversation for something. And it's usually, like the other guy was saying, you want to talk to one of the two guys involved or the last guy checked in. But it doesn't have to be that. As for, I'm not sure if I'm making a connection here.
Doing just good. You're doing just fine. Come on, keep coming.
It just sounded like I wasn't talking anymore. So, and as far as your antenna question a while ago, I would think if it's not calibrated right, it would read wrong, but it wouldn't bounce from one to another one like that as much. The other thing I would suggest doing is checking all your connections, making sure they're tight. If you've got something that's loose in the PL259 or something, they could cause stuff like that. W4MKH back to whoever's next in line.
BQ. First of all, I'd like to say to Chad, I am deeply sorry for all of your loss. Very disturbing. I haven't had anyone that close, not a family member, as far as I know. And anyway, I pray for you. I do. And this contact question, I suppose on 2 meter things are, and they shouldn't be, pretty lax sometimes. And one thing to remember, Chad, it'll never fail you. Just as I broke in just a moment ago, your call sign always works. and that had saved me a lot of concern in situations that were difficult for me to figure out. If I just remember that all I had to do to be recognized was send out my call sign, and it's recognized by everybody everywhere as a request to speak. And it changes, you know, in context. Anyway, it's good to be here tonight. Walt, I'm thrilled to hear that your tongue is feeling a lot better. We wag our tongues a lot, don't we? And so I am tickled that there is a good side to all of this. And Chad, I'm just trying to cover the things I made notes here on. Your timer is usually buried in menus on a lot of radios, and it's abbreviated TOT for Time Out Timer. And if you look that up, you can change it. I would change it to something like 9 minutes, giving you a little longer than what it's doing by default. KK4JBQ.
Hi, Larry. That I do have the TOT set for 7 minutes, but when it's in crossband repeat mode, I can't get it to get past 3. So I'm thinking it may be internal in the radio. I'm not sure, but at any rate, Gary, thank you for telling me about break. I had no idea that break meant, hey, I have an emergency. And I'm glad you told me that, because I've got that written down in my notes. So, all right. So let me move on to the second question, and this is a quickie. And this is going to sound like a dumb question, but the only reference I have is military, and this is just a totally different world, some things. So how do I send a proper signal report? When someone asks me for a signal report, where do I get those numbers, and kind of what do they mean? And there's a second part to that. Why are they asking that? Is it a ranging question to where they're wanting to determine, you know, how strong their signal is compared to a geographic location? In other words, well, this guy's in South Carolina, and he's telling me I've got a low signal report, but I can reach North Carolina with a higher signal report. And I personally am feeling like that if someone asked me for a signal report, I need to know how to do that correctly, because the other station is trying to possibly range his signal, and that kind of seems important to me. So I just want to make sure I'm doing it right, so that I can give the correct information to the distant end.
JI4 DOS. Chad, if you'll look up the RST system, that is the it gives you the readability, the signal strength, and the tone. Give you numbers and give you definitions of each. The tone is more so for CW. They don't use, if you're on phone, they don't ask anything about tone. But if someone asks you for a signal report, And it's going to vary. You know, you may have a good strong signal into one place, and then someplace else it can be a little weaker. But that's propagation. That's not necessarily your antenna or your radio or anything like that. That's propagation. It will change that a bunch. First number is the readability. It goes from 1 to 5. And you probably heard people say 5x9 or 5x6 or whatever. A 5 is perfectly readable. And when you look up the RST system, you'll see that. And the other numbers, 5x9, is extremely strong. That's the highest you can get. Some people will say, I got you 5x9 plus 20. That's 20 dB above S9. But that's going to vary on different radios. And, I may have my radio. Well, I got two radios here, and I can have them both set up and listen to the same frequency. And I have a different S reading on them. So it depends on the radios. I hope that clarified a little bit about that.
Okay, so I'll check up RST. That's Romeo Sierra Tango. And add that to my band plan notes in the shack so that when somebody asks me for that, and I get asked quite frequently, I can give them as accurate as information as I can. So any other comments on proper signal reports?
KO4NUE, K4OIM. Chad, that book I gave you, it should have that little chart in it. I'm pretty sure it does. But you're going to have to go to the ham fest where Silvertip's at and get one of these charts like Larry and Harry and I got. I think I paid $10 for it. I bought this one at Rar's Ham Fest about 3 years ago. And I hate to pay $10 for a piece of paper, but boy, it's got the length that you cut your dipole antennas and the RST numbers on the back of it and the coax loss and the Q signals and all of that on there. But that RST chart should be in that book I gave you, Chad.
It is. Everything that I've learned is in that book, but I did not know to go to RST. Now that I know where to try to start looking, that'll give me I'm sure I can go right to it now. But signal report is just, it's just not in there, but now I know where to go and know what to do, so appreciate it.
KK4JBQ. This is a perfect time to agree with Walt that these charts are real handy. In any science, for the inexperienced, there's little to hang your hat on. The more information you gather, the more it'll make sense, because everything kind of affects everything else. So there's some encouragement anyway. The signal report is objective. It is your opinion, and you give the opinion honestly. Unless you're in a contest, and then it doesn't matter. It's 599. That's for expediency. They don't really care in contests. But if you do care, and in most other contacts, if you are asked for a signal report, you give it to them honestly. You go by your S meter on your radio if you can. But the tone, again, Gary was right. It's used for CW. And since I know you are interested in CW, I'm going to tell you that it's 5NN. If you think about it, the number 9 takes a long time to send. So the letter N is used, for obvious reasons, to make it shorter. You can send a 5 and then NN, 599. Going along with that, kind of holding hands with that is, and I'll reference it to another question that you asked, is the Q codes. if you are, again, objectively giving an opinion about the other person's signal, or even your own, if you've become aware of it, because HF is just like 2 meters. You can't hear yourself. You're asking someone else an opinion of your signal, and that's very helpful. But QRM would be noise that is on your signal, and the opinion is that it's man-made noise, QRM. QRN is natural noise. N as in Nancy. And then QSB is fading. That may also, it just might be what's happened with your antenna. If it goes in and out during a period of time that you're on the radio, it could be that the conditions for your signal to receive and to send are fading in and out. KK4JBQ.
Wes, I've got to remember, we as hams, and I'm as guilty of it as everybody else, the Q signals were put into operation for CW ops. They were not meant for phone. We use them on phone, because we're lazy. You know, QTH. Well, what is QTH? That's my home. You know, which is easier to say, home or QTH? Well, CW, you got one less letter to send. So that's what the Q signals were actually designed for. If you need, I don't have a copy of all of them because there's just too many. But if you need or would like to have a copy of some of the Q signals that I've got, I'd be happy to make you a copy and send them to you.
Complete edition. And trust me, it's as you know, it's a lot of them. Some of them are very interesting. I think one of them in there is in reference to, you know, the airplane's going down and are you going to crash land? Here's my coordinates or something like that. And obviously, you know, most of those are not used anymore. But there are some in there that's pretty important where I could see could be used. But I appreciate it, Gary. I have got a binder in my ham shack that, well, two binders. One is kind of emergency, you know, it storm or the zombies are coming, whatever your emergency is. Okay, I can go to, I need to, you know, go to this frequency and listen and that frequency and listen and that kind of stuff, you know. So let me let this thing cycle and just kind of give you a brief idea of why all this is happening for me. Radio Club in Tryon, and I'm kind of sort of a training guy, and being put with as much inexperience as I have, being a training guy, that forces me to learn so I can go back and give it to the club. And the older hams, the more experienced hams, they kind of watch over the data and make sure the data is correct and what I'm giving out in the club is correct. But this week, what next meeting we have, I'm giving a class on the Warns repeater system. So I've been studying the Warns system, how it works, why it's there, talked with, you know, K9OH, and a couple of other people that own the repeaters to get all the information. And but when you move to HF, it's so different. similar in some ways, but different. And I don't feel like I quite fit in there yet because there's a lot to learn. And the sooner I can get, you know, some basics down, I'll be able to feel a little bit more comfortable there. Because some of these guys are pretty rough, and if you say the wrong thing or this, that, and the other, I mean, they'll let you know real quick. They're just aggravating, and I mean, picking at me. But that's okay. I'm still going to try to get all the information I can and try to find a way to, you know, make it happen. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
I just make sure I got it. I want to refer back to I think maybe the first question that you had when we started this roundtable, with the express wish that anybody could join, anybody could have a question, and your first question was, or one of the first, was really interesting. I have not had much experience as net control, but I have called the net on occasion. Your question was about Q&I and QTC. It's a part of the recognition of your report, and it is a very short abbreviation. Gary is right. It's not common. These things are not commonly used on 2 meters, but there are times when it's appropriate, times that it cuts to it, you know. What are the number of check-ins, and what's the number of items of traffic, that kind of thing. And so that just rang a bell for me, and I thought I'd point that out. It was one of your first questions, KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI port. One person I can recommend to you that keeps the one system pretty much all up and working, it's hard to always catch them on the radio, though, but that's N4LRD. And he lives somewhere around in Anderson area down there. He sometimes comes out here to our meeting out here at the EOC and Pigeons sometimes.
Call sign written down, Andy. I'll see if I can check him out. But as far as warrants go, I've been studying up on that for the past month, and that just kind of fascinates me, that how that whole system works and just exactly how important it is. So, but yeah, thanks for the information. I'll shoot him an email tomorrow to see if I can get any more information to send to the group. But if there's no more comments on signal reports, then I'll move on to my next question. For MKH, try again, bud.
Okay, on the signal reports, I mean, if you can do them accurately to somebody, that is great, but it's not everybody is subjective like the other guy there said. And, you know, I find sometimes I give out wrong ones by mistake, because if you got your RF gain turned down on a lot of radios, or maybe all of them, that will drop the S meter down. So you got to be running full RF gain and all those kind of things. And if you want to be accurate, I don't think you can do it with the preamps on or not, too. Maybe somebody else can correct that. Back to you, Chad, W4MKH.
Okay, bud, I'm going to do a little studying up on RST and how that works. But I made a note here about RF gain. There may or may not be a procedure for that, but that's okay. As long as I can get some basics down and feel comfortable giving information out to another station, because I don't know, maybe I'm going too far with it, but I feel like the information that is requested of me needs to be as accurate as possible. I like I said, it's going to sound a little corny, but I feel like that's just responsible operation, you know. But if I don't know how that system works, then obviously I'm not going to be able to send out the correct information. The other thing I need y'all to understand is that it's a little bit more difficult because if you've got a new ham that has no radio experience at all, when he or she tries to learn, that's kind of like a blank slate. But I'm not in that situation. I have a lot of experience with communication on the military side, and I hate to keep bringing that up, but it's so different. It is different procedures and different. The way you report things is, you don't get on a radio and just talk. You need to have a reason and a purpose to be on a net, because that net is there for a purpose. And you only disseminate certain information. So, that's called, for example, that's called a 9-line. You have 9 lines of information that you send. And that's all you send. Unless the net control has a need for other information, but he dictates everything. So I just want y'all to kind of understand that my reference is so different and so strict that when you move into this side of it, I think some of that discipline is pretty laxed, and I mean no disrespect on the amateur side. It's just, I don't know. I'm not really sure what I'm trying to say other than it's just so different, and that skews, you know, how I see things. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, the airport. Mine's a lot like the Mars program. WB4DPP over here, Cliff, used to be in that. What you're talking about is Mars. They're very, very disciplined, the Mars program is. And like I told you a while back in May, the Mars program and the amateurs kind of interchange things. But just outside the 80-meter band, so far, on either side of it, on the upper side band, you hear a lot of Mars activities. And a lot of hams hold you roles as hams and Mars operators. KI4LZI4.
Did you? I can appreciate the struggle that you're having in your head. If you have been trained in critical operations, then a leisurely, and it's hard for people, honestly, you, me, everybody, to change gears quickly. And to be talking about one thing one moment and another thing the next moment, just be aware that within our hobby, there are a lot of services. It is a service hobby. and one of them is Racy's, another is Aries. I am kind of familiar with Aries more than Racy's. The Amateur Radio Emergency Service has had a complete change of its complexion in the last, well, since 9/11. The Department of Homeland Security and, honestly, the Defense Department has gotten involved in the training, the formal training of members of the Amateur Radio Emergency Services. There are online exams that you take to be qualified to do certain things that are critical communications, disaster communications, disaster relief, hospital, you know, the local areas is connected with several area hospitals. They are the, so that is also within the hobby. This is a huge hobby with so many opportunities. And for someone such as yourself, you might take a look at Aries and what's going on here locally. KK4JBQ.
What is?
KH. Is the SC Hearts network still up and running these days? I got a good tour of that back about 2010 when I was with the Columbia, South Carolina club.
The Hurricane WatchNet and just was listening. During my hours of listening, one of the net control stations, and they would swap off about every hour, and one of the net controllers was trying to relay information from the Department of Homeland Defense in Lafayette, Louisiana. And he was struggling to hear what Homeland Defense was trying to report. So the net control was asking for, I will take traffic from any station in the affected area, which means if you're not in that affected area, you remain silent. Well, he was struggling to hear the distant station, and the net control's station, his preamble changed and said, can anybody relay that station? And so I jumped in and volunteered to relay. Let me let this thing recycle. At that time, the net control station took my call sign down and said, let me continue to work in a few more minutes. I've got your call written down. If I need you, remain on station and help me relay. So he eventually got it himself, and I respect the net controller continuing to try to work that station and get it. I get it. My point is I never reported, but I remained on station like he asked me to do. Well, a couple hours later, and he was struggling again and asked for, can anybody help me relay? So that afternoon, I went up to the single sideband net and made an announcement that I had encountered a net control station that was asking for relays in the storm area, and made an announcement that had happened. And man, I got told real quick. I mean, real quick. And I mean, I'm gonna be honest about it. I kind of got the poochie lip about it a little bit, because, and this is where I'm gonna drive things home. So let me let this repeater cycle. In the military, regardless of what NCS is in control or what situation is happening, if you hear a distant station that says, can you relay, or you hear any station that says, can you relay, and I don't care what kind of emergency situation is going on, you relay, and you relay immediately. Well, so that's the only frame of reference that I have. So I assumed that if the net control station was asking for a relay, he was struggling to get information out, and I'm thinking, okay, well, the more people that could help relay would be advantageous. Well, evidently not, and I'm still trying to wrap my hands around that situation, but it's just, that's my point, is that you're exactly right. Once you have been trained to do something, it's hard to retrain or change your the way you do things, as opposed to a new ham who has a clean slate and has nothing to reference to. So that's why you're getting some of these questions, is because my reference is a lot different than what typical protocols are. KO4NUE for station ID. Just different procedures. So I know some of the questions may mean, well, this guy doesn't know anything. Well, some of that's true, but the other half of it is that it's just a totally different context, and some things I can't get out of a book. I have to ask people, and that's, you know, kind of why I'm here. So any comments on that before the next question? And this will be my last question after this one.
KBQ. Chad, don't be too hard on yourself. Actually, your heart is in the right place. The protocols will perhaps change depending on who the served agency is. If it's a hospital, if it's some disaster relief having to do with search and rescue, and there are protocols that need to be followed. The way you tell the story now, I frankly cannot understand why someone who could relay, and you did double with someone there, so we lost some part of that, and I'm having to guess what the particulars were, but it would seem to me that common sense would mean that whether you are a member of any organized group, you just happen to be, you might be in an advantageous location to be able to identify what was being said and relay it onto a more distant station. Since you were in the middle, you might be able to do that actual handoff. I can't imagine why it wasn't appreciative. The only thing that occurs to me is that maybe it was a drill and only certain people should have responded. If it were an actual event, I can't imagine why he wasn't appreciative. KK4JBQ.
Where's the airport? The people that does that for that right there, they've got a website for such stuff as that works with the Hurricane Watch Net, and every now and then you'll see something when a hurricane comes about on the ARRL website. What I would suggest you do is take and go to their website, the Hurricane Watch Net website. I don't remember because I didn't write it down, but go to their website and read about everything they got to say in there about the protocols concerning such as that. That's the only thing I can really recommend that you do, because I can't do enough HF here really to tell you any more than that. KI4LZ4.
KL4, Golf Whiskey Romeo, Mobile, standing by, how come you covered?
I didn't get your call, but are you checking in to the net?
KO4, Golf Whiskey Romeo, this is Doug in Greenville, checking in to the net. Hope everyone's doing well. First of all, I hope you got a copy of radio. I hope everyone's doing well.
Again, I got the KO4. I didn't get the suffix of it.
KO4, Golf Whiskey Romeo.
KO4GWR, Doug, you say you're mobile in Greenville, right?
10-4.
Hey, you checking in. I'll amend my net report here, and thanks for checking in, Doug. got you down in the log, and I'll go ahead and amend my net report. And thanks for checking in, Doug. Signal there, but I can copy you, but when you was making that last transmission, you faded all the way out.
10-4, 10-4. We just got to get a little more power, a little more antenna standing there, and then we'll be good to go. But this is all, and I appreciate all you did. 10-4, Gulf Whiskey Romeo.
Golf Whiskey Romeo, Doug. Appreciate you checking in, Doug. Better late than never. Thanks again, 7-3s.
Carry on. I got to get up to take cement, and if y'all are still here later, I'll come back. KI4LZI Portal.
All right, Andy. I appreciate you sticking around and helping out with some of the questions on here. And if we still here, come back. All right. 7-3s, Andy.
You're always welcome here. KK4JBQ.
K4MKH.
I mean that. And I heard you check in and offer to relay. And I couldn't understand to save my life why he would let you relay. I could hear the other guy almost perfectly. And you and I are close together, and you were probably hearing as good as I was or better. And then when you checked into the sideband that night and made the comments about it, I think the NCS was wrong. Because I think the way you were thinking, if in an emergency like that, this was not a drill. It was an actual emergency, and he asked for a relay. You or I, either one, could have relayed. And why he didn't do that and waste his time struggling, trying to get the information from that guy, I just don't understand, Chad.
Were on the single sideband net that was the issue. I asked permission from the net control on single sideband to make an announcement, and my announcement was what I heard today, and that if anybody wanted to help relay, there was a net control station handling emergency traffic that asked for a relay out of the umbrella of under the affected area, which meant to me he wasn't asking for a relay for somebody in the affected area. He was asking for a relay period. So when I posted that announcement, there was another station that was not the net controller, and I'll leave his call sign blank, but he's the one that said basically, stay away from that net. Don't go down there and relay. And it embarrassed me to death because, like Larry said, my heart was in the right place, and I felt like I just made the wrong decision and was trying to help a net controller that was having difficulty relaying information. I don't know. I still don't understand it. I still don't. And to be honest with you, I sent the guy an email, and it just asking and explaining to him, trying to explain to him what I experienced, and it just, the return email back to me was absolutely horrible. So I just dropped it and let it go. So still don't understand, but that's okay. I'm gonna move on with it, and you know, not let that affect my experience. At the end of the day, if that net controller in that affected area says, "Can anybody relay?" I'm going to relay. Period. And that's just the way it is. If I get my butt chapped for that, then I get my butt chapped. That's just the way it is.
KK4JBQ. I want to, and I hear where you're coming from and what your concerns are. And there is, in emergency responses, there is, some would call it a hierarchy, others would call it a chain of command. You're familiar with the latter, for certain. And you also are aware that some people take a little bit of authority and they don't quite handle it correctly. It's not their fault. Perhaps they're not totally aware of the situation and what is helpful and what is not. I'm sorry that that happened. One thing, if you've got something to write with, the ARRL is in, it helps to organize ARRLs. And the training courses that are available online, and you can become certified, and you're required to do this if you want to be a member of ARRLs, but you could, anybody can do it. The courses are developed under FEMA, and if you just Google FEMA training courses for ARRLs, FEMA training courses for ARRLs, then the world will open up to you. It's quite involved. It takes hours of study, but you do understand what certain situations are made up of, where the criticalities are, who is in command when, and these, as you're well aware, this is critical. You cannot have, you know, three generals on site. Anyway, that will clear up a lot, even if you don't decide that you want to go in it that far. But once you take these exams, and it's not difficult. I've done it myself. It's not very difficult. You have a certification in that regard, and you'll be a welcome member, certainly, with someone with your attitude, be a welcome member of ARRLs, I'm certain. KK4JBQ.
I sent you an email, just a heads up.
Your name, I just kind of feels real impersonal calling you by your call. I should have got it during sign-in, but I did not. I'm sorry, sir.
Hey, there's a station out there wanting to make a comment. Go ahead and comment.
Yeah, I just got a small question regarding that ARRLs that training you're talking about. I think that was hilarious, if I'm not mistaken. If somebody's in an emergency and you don't have that training, you need to relay that information. I mean, would it be okay to relay the information, or do you need that training to relay the information?
The question was, if you don't have the FEMA training, is it okay to relay information from an emergency situation? Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Chad.
Another question for you. He's down in the weeds, so I'll relay and hope I don't get my butt chapped for relaying this time. But the question is, if you don't have the FEMA training, is it appropriate to relay? And I want to be the first to answer there and say, I think it, everybody's, after what Larry said, you probably need the training right off the bat. the second part of that comment is, I'm assuming that the net control is in charge of that station, period. For about an hour, I heard the net controller say, is there anybody in the affected area that has information, emergency or welfare, to take? And he broadcasted that word to. The Department of Homeland Defense came on and just could not get out. So his statement changed from, is there anybody in the affected area, to, can any station relay? And I think you need the training. Second of all is, if you just take commands from net control, and I mean, obviously you're not going to do anything that's, you know, don't do anything you ask, but have some common sense with it. That's my response, but I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer, but I just want to throw my two cents in there. KL4NUE for station ID.